Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also pick it up on our YouTube channel, Camp Constitution, and also on Podomatic. Just go to podomatic.com and punch in Camp Constitution Radio. This show was brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among many things, runs a week-long family camp, and our camp is coming up in just a little more than a month, from July 28th to August 3rd at the Lakeside Christian Camp and Conference Center in beautiful Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And visit us on our website, campconstitution.net. We have a guest on the line, Mrs. Alreda Dobbs. Alreda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Well, thanks for calling in. Now, Alreda is the author of a book, I believe it's called Being Christian in Gay America. And
it's titled The Right to Be Christian in a Gay Rights America.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I visited your website, and I haven't read the book, but I just heard about it a few days ago, and I will definitely get a copy of the book. So tell us a little bit about your background before we talk about the book.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm an ordained minister, and so I've been a Christian for a pretty long time, and I'm also a licensed professional counselor, and I'm also a licensed master's social worker. I graduated from Wayne State University in 82, and I've been writing Christian apologetic books in the area of social issues since about 1992 is when I started writing them. The Lord called me to write books that defend the faith in certain sensitive topics in 1990, and so I've been doing this for the last 28 years. I've written books regarding racism and slavery, issues like that, and chauvinism, sexism, things of that sort, defending the Bible in those areas, and as far as what the Bible says about these things. And the last subject that I believe the Lord gave me was defending the faith regarding homosexuality. So that's this new book, The Right to be Christian in a Gay Rights America. That's what this new book does. And it was published in July of 2018.
And you hail from Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, yes. I am a Detroiter. I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina. But basically, I was raised in Detroit, Michigan. So, yes, I'm out of Detroit. I'm doing business as Press Toward the Mark Publications, which is independent publishing.
Oh, great. Well, it's interesting because this is so-called Gay Pride Month, and mm-hmm. we see a lot of churches, I would call them apostate churches, flying the rainbow flag. But then you'll see the born-again churches, the Bible-believing churches, usually they have little to say about it. They tend to ignore it. You know, the church that we attend, it's pretty much not even mentioned. And the problem is that the culture is saturated, especially in the Northeast. There are certain parts of the country where it's not so widely embraced. I was at a homeschool conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and right in downtown Lancaster, and I saw one storefront that had a T-shirt, like a lady's blouse, that said, "Love Wins" with the rainbow flag. That was the only expression of that that I noticed in that time. But then you go to mm-hmm. downtown Boston, and you'll see the flags flying in businesses and, you know, City Hall, the Boston Public Library, and so forth. So I guess it all depends on what part of the country you're in. But the bottom line is that it looks like corporate America, a lot of state governments and local governments are aggressively promoting this agenda. And sadly, being a Christian, we look at the Word of God, as the Bible, as God's the inspired Word, and the Bible is very clear on certain sins and very clear on the sin of homosexuality. So,
yes.
So tell us a little bit of something about the book.
Okay. Yes. Well, the subtitle is A Biblical and Constitutional Defense Against the Persecution of Christians Who Do Not Support Homosexuality. So the issue that I'm basically dealing with in the book has to do a lot with Christians being persecuted for not condoning homosexuality. I say there's a difference between tolerance and support. But of course, during, as far as writing the book, what I'm doing is defending the faith and saying, well, this is why Christians cannot support homosexuality. That doesn't mean we can't tolerate homosexuals as people or that we, are saying something against them as a human being, but it means that we cannot tolerate the behavior of homosexuality because of what the Bible says about it. So, and because we say that we're Christians. And I agree with you, a lot of the church, just overall in America, is not really addressing this particular issue. And I think the church doesn't address it because, I think many people feel like, well, if we do, then we're not being loving, which is not true. As a matter of fact, it's the wages of sin is death, so it's almost unloving not to address it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I start off with my introduction, and I give a history of the gay rights movement and how it came into being, so people will know, have an idea. And then I in chapter one, it's called "Sex is a Privilege, Not an Entitlement." And what I do is I go through. And before I get to homosexuality, I go through all the sexual sins, premarital, heterosexual sex, polygamy, adultery, incest, prostitution, bestiality. And then I get to homosexuality. And I did that because I wanted people reading the book to see it's not just homosexuality
that's
the sin.
Right.
The reason why we have to address it, the reason why we do, and I say this in my book, is because there is a gay rights movement that has put it, into the public sphere in such a powerful way that it is affecting Christendom. And it is affecting many Christians negatively because, like I said, if you don't support it, if you don't condone it, if you don't participate in the affirmation of it, you're called a bigot and a homophobe. You could lose your job. You know, I have examples of people who have been through that, Christians, in my book.
Do you mention a Dr. Church from Boston, Massachusetts, and what happened to him?
Not that, but I do talk about Jack Phillips and Kim Davis and about five other people where some things happened. And I do also talk about the Alliance Defending Freedom, that is a great organization, have a team of lawyers that basically help Christians that find themselves being sued or fired or thrown in jail because they basically say, I cannot support this or participate in the affirmation of it. I do say in my book that the reason why, because many people from the LGBTQ community, from the homosexual community say, well, why are you focusing in on us? It's like, well, because there is a gay rights movement that has aided in denying religious freedom for Christians if you say you can't support it. We don't have a polygamy rights movement. There's no adultery rights movement.
Adultery Pride Month where
exactly there's no
of adultery.
There's no adultery pride month, no incest pride month, no prostitution rights pride month. And actually now prostitution is legal in Nevada, but a Christian can say, yeah. And a Christian can say on the job or wherever, I don't believe in prostitution. I believe the Bible says that's a sin. You won't lose your job or lose your business or get sued or be threatened for that, And so I make these points in my book, And so in chapter two, I go through the scriptural arguments. Now, in the gay, community, LGBTQ community, there have been a lot of books written about the scriptures in the Bible that say that homosexuality is a sin. And there have been other books written by Christians that give arguments to those scriptures. They actually say, basically what they're saying is, well, the scriptures aren't saying what they're saying, and here's our argument saying that the scriptures aren't saying what they're saying, right? So then what I do is I go through those six passages, which are Leviticus 18 and 22, Leviticus 20, 13, Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, Genesis 19, verses 1 through 25, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. So I go through all of the scriptures I give their arguments as to, you know, what they say it doesn't say, and then I give counter arguments as to know why it's saying what it is saying. And so there are some pretty well-known arguments out there on their side and some well-known arguments out there on our side. I give a couple of arguments that are, are a little different. But basically that's what I do in that chapter. Because a lot of Christians don't know where the scriptures are. They know that the Bible says homosexuality is a sin, but they don't know exactly what scriptures and what and how to counter argue the arguments that the LGBTQ community have against those scriptures. You know, so I need to put that in there. This is an apologetic. I'm trying to give Christians the equipment and the tools that they need to defend the faith in this area. So now in chapter 3, there are, aside from dealing with the scriptures, which is interesting, if you look at something on TV and you have a say you have somebody talking about homosexuality on the gay community side, and you have a Christian on disputing them on the other side, the scriptures are never brought up, which I think that's, that the scriptures should always be brought up, because this is the crux of the matter. And I say that in my book. A lot of the Christians that they'll have on television talking about these things do not bring up the scriptures. Now, in chapter 3, I talk about some very popular gay-affirming arguments on the side of the LGBTQ community that they have aside from the scriptures. And I categorize them as such, the Jesus argument. And one of the arguments, they'll say Jesus was gay and had a relationship with, John, things of that sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, that are totally unbiblical. There's,
the apostle
so I go through
Jesus
all,
loved. Yeah.
Right. Yes, the apostle that Jesus loved. And, of course, the word loved in every sense of the word. And every, I go to the Greek, and it's, it's agape, And so I get, not eros, which is sexual love. So I get into all of that, and the animal argument, and I name them the entitlement arguments, the emotional blackmail arguments, the language arguments, the Pope argument, the no right to judge argument. So I get into all of these arguments, the suppression argument, homosexual relationships of the Bible argument, which there were no documented homosexual relationships of the Bible, but they'll say that even Ruth and Naomi had a gay relationship, had a lesbian relationship, things of this sort that cannot be proven. So Christians need to know, okay, how do you refute these things? Then in chapter 4, I have 7 chapters. In chapter 4, it's called But I Was Born This Way. And I get into the question whether or not this is a choice. And I say in the introduction, many gay people defend their homosexuality by saying that they were born homosexual. In this chapter, we will not be getting into the arguments and counterarguments of whether or not someone can be born homosexual, because it doesn't matter. What matters is how God says we are to behave despite the inclinations of our flesh. So I get into a different kind of argument there and say, well, despite whatever inclinations anybody has, as Christians, we are to live our lives according to how God says we should live our lives. We all have inclinations, and I give
examples. It's called sin nature.
Yeah, exactly.
It's our sin nature.
Right.
And when I hear this argument that we're born this way, I'd say, well, we're born in, we have a sin nature, and some may have an inclination to steal. Some may have heterosexuals have an inclination to be promiscuous and commit adultery.
Right.
And some others have an inclination to engage in homosexual activities. But it's our sin nature. It's not where. So in respects, they're correct that we're born in sin. But they don't say, they think it's somehow biological, that there's a gene in there that says you're going to be a homosexual or heterosexual. And that's simply not backed up by any medical science whatsoever. Although the same people who say you have a gene will say there's, 50 or 60 genders. And I guess they're inventing a new gender every week. So by the time this show airs in a few days, they may have added a few more since then.
Yeah, well, there's this thing called non-binary now. It's just interesting what they're saying. You're not male or female or anything like that. What they do as far as the I was born this way, they liken it. It's a false equivalence to say Okay, I was born, you know, I was born black, I was born white, I was born Asian. All right, that's why, you know, we divide everybody into races, but, you know, as far as skin color and how tall you are, okay, that is a physicality. They liken it to that, but we're not talking physicality. We're talking behavioral, and we're talking whether or not you can change something, and you can change your behavior. And we're talking about an inclination, whether or not you are genetically inclined to behave a certain way or what have you. We don't excuse those who, say, are genetically inclined towards alcoholism. It's still drunkenness, and it's still a behavior.
That's right.
Even if you're genetically inclined towards that, that you can stop. So, and
you
that God holds us accountable to, and that as Christians, we can't say, throw up our hands and say, oh, well, they just can't help it because they were born that way. No, we can't do that with any sinful inclination of the flesh. So that's where I go in that chapter. And then in chapter 5, I talk about the gay Christian, an oxymoron or a reality. You know, there are Christians who say they're gay, and there are gay people who say they're Christians. And what I do is I just kind of break it down like this. I say, well, there are 5 categories of people who say they are Christians. You have the baby Christian. So you have a babe in Christ who might be into certain behaviors and sins, and they come to Christ, and it takes them a while to get away from those behaviors. So in that sense, well, okay, it's possible. Then the backslidden Christian, you've been a Christian, you've gotten away from certain sinful behaviors, but then you backslide into it. Okay, well, yeah, okay, so that's possible. But then I go to the so-called Christian, you know, people who think they're Christians and they're really not. When Jesus said, you know, I never knew you, and they came to him and said, hey, we did this in your name and that in your name. They thought they were saved, but Jesus said, oh,
Christians
get away from
by
me.
Default,
I don't know
I
you.
Call them.
Yeah, right. And then you
I
have
mean, if you're
Christian
not a Muslim,
imposter.
If you're not a Jew, you know, you're a Christian, I guess, right? That's how.
Well, it sounds like those in that particular passage of scripture, they at least thought that they were, you know. So, and Jesus made it clear, look, I don't know you. And then there's the Christian imposter, people who say that they're Christians and they are not. Now, if you say you're a gay Christian, in my opinion, you fit into one of those, a baby Christian, a backslidden Christian, the so-called Christian, or a Christian imposter. And they all look the same. But what you don't fit into, what I say in my book, is a mature Christian. You can't be a mature Christian and practice any kind of sin. So that's what you're not. And so I kind of lean towards the argument in that way. And then in chapter 6, I talk about red herrings, the art of blocking and diverting. The red herring of, you know, when you get into these conversations, with people who advocate for gay rights or who are of the LGBTQ community, they'll start talking about interracial marriage and the civil rights movement and women in the Bible and the Bible and slavery. And these are red herrings. They take you away from what really needs to be discussed, and they'll start comparing and things of that sort. So what I did in that chapter, I give Christians the tools to get into those kind of discussions and get it back on track, but also to give Christians the tools of how to counter-argue these kind of red herring discussions. And then in chapter 7, forced to choose, is it a question of bigotry or persecution? And I basically say in this chapter, because, you know, the gay rights movement, the LGBT community will say, any time that we say we cannot support homosexuality, we're not talking about the human being, homosexuals, and saying, you know, they're not human or anything like that. We're talking about the act, that we're bigots, okay? And so the question is, well, is it really bigotry or are we being persecuted? And I say here that the gay rights movement in America resulted in a 2015 Supreme Court decision that legalized gay marriage across all 50 states and has become so powerful that despite what the Bible says about homosexuality, many Christians have been persecuted for refusing to support it. And when I say persecution, I mean persecution, death threats, being thrown in jail in America, you know, because you have the case of Kim Davis, and losing
well, with
business,
Kim Davis,
being sued.
Kim, that's right. The gentleman in Colorado, the baker, who actually won his case.
Yeah, Jack Phillips. Yeah,
and they're still going after the state. Is
they're
the
still
heavy
going
hand
after
of the
him.
State,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah,
they
yeah.
just want him to leave the state, I suppose, and that would be a great victory for the state. And here's a man that says, "Look, I'll bake any cake you want, but I'm not going to bake a wedding cake and put two male figures on it. I mean, can you imagine
right.
if he was an Orthodox Jewish baker, and I went in there and said, look, I'm having a neo-Nazi rally on Hitler's birthday. I want you to have a big old swastika. Yeah, it tossed me out of my head first. And, you know, nobody would say, oh, no, you've got to bake him a swastika cake. Or let's say that you owned a bakery and I was having a Klan rally. I said, I want you to, you know, have a bunch of Klansmen on top of the cake. You toss me out and say, you know, the heck, there's no way you're going to do this. But when it comes to this particular issue, they're forced to do it. And there was cases all over the country, in New York State, it was a country club. And they actually, the man in charge, the man in charge of the catering was a homosexual, and the owners were Christians. And they said, look, we're not going to, they wanted to do the wedding, I think, right at the place. They said, we can't do it. You know, we'll host a reception, but we can't do a wedding. We don't believe in this concept of, same-sex marriage. And they were sued. The state went after them. And they had to stop doing catering, and they fired the homosexual person in charge of the banqueting. So it actually hurt people in the homosexual community, but it doesn't matter. You know, so there isn't any sense of justice. And like my friends who are organizing the Straight Pride Parade in Boston, they've received death threats. There's one fellow who's worried about losing his job. They don't know where he's working. He's like a private contractor. They went after his past employer, thinking he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he's no longer with us. And they're actually getting threats of being gang raped. I mean, I'm not saying all the people who oppose it, but
Right. We're not saying that.
No.
Right. Yeah.
They need to be held
accountable.
And the people in the homosexual community have an obligation, those who believe in peace and just have to speak out against this. Unfortunately, they're not doing it at this point.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I had an experience where there was a young man who, because I had a book signing at one of the Barnes & Noble stores in Wisconsin, and the person that brought me in, he's from that community, and there were some people who didn't treat me real well, and he was one of those people, I must say, that felt like, okay, we cannot mistreat people. Pardon me?
Mm-hmm. I said good for him.
Yeah, we cannot. Yes, good for him. And also, to be fair, he really felt that way. And so, yes, there are people in the LGBTQ community who do feel like tolerance should work both ways. But then you've got the people that you're talking about, and they seem to have the larger voice, actually.
That's right.
Feels like, no, we need to persecute these people. Now, it's interesting, when I use the word persecution, a lot of people in the LGBTQ community don't see it as persecution. But it is, technically, it fits the definition when you start threatening people, throwing people in jail, threatening their business, and things of that sort. That really does go towards the definition of persecution. And then I must also say that on our side of things, we do have some churches who have gone overboard and have not done the right thing as far as challenging this whole concept of we all must accept homosexuality in a civil way. But those are the exceptions. You know, I believe that most Christians do the name-calling thing and things
right.
of that sort. I think that's the
extreme
exception.
The extreme example is Westboro Baptist Church, which
Westboro,
I believe,
right.
I think
oh
they're working
goodness.
On the other side, but that's I believe they're not exactly with us. But they're the ones that get all the attention. It's like when I'll go to a pro-life rally, and for years it was this well-known anti-Semite in Boston that would have a sign that says abortion is Jewish, and the media shows up, and what's on the front page of the local newspaper isn't these nice young ladies, carrying signs and decent people. It's this nasty anti-Semite giving the appearance that if you're pro-life, you're an anti-Semite, or, God hates fags. And so if you, if you oppose the homosexual agenda, then God hates sin. And he hates sin. That's what he hates. But they show that, and they'll say that all Christians are bigots. And I think they justify by saying, it's not free speech, it's hate speech, and hate speech has to be prohibited. So to say that I think it's a sin, or hate the sin, love the sinner, that's hate speech, and that's precluded, that's against the law, and you should be punished for saying such things. So they've turned the Constitution on its head. And when they use the term gay right, because I think the word gay was stolen. Gay used to be carefree and happy. But homosexuals have this. Yeah, homosexuals enjoy the same rights everybody else does under the U.S. Constitution. But we, you know, that's also the right of association and the right not to associate. And organizations and clubs and even businesses can say, look, we're not going to serve because of, we're not going to serve you in this manner because we don't agree with what you stand for. That's what you call freedom of association and freedom of contract. Homosexuals could always marry, but they had to marry someone from the other gender because that's what marriage is, and they've been able to legally redefine something that was set in stone, you know, thousands of years ago. And I think of what Jesus said, that man shall leave his parents and cleave to his wife. I mean, that to me is, okay, the debate's over here. You know, that's the only kind of marriage that's acknowledged in the Christian world and in the Jewish world.
Yeah, and there are certain rights, of course, that, you know, any human being in this country would be homosexual, heterosexual, whatever, are supposed to have. We're not talking about, you know, those rights. You know, we're not talking about real bigotry, real discrimination, I should say. What we're talking about is, you know, Christians should have the right under the First Amendment to, you know, a freedom of religion. And I say here that, you know, and also just with Jack Phillips, now, he didn't bake a cake for Halloween. You know, people would come in there and want Halloween cake, or, you know, he didn't put alcohol in his cake. The Halloweeners didn't sue him, and the alcoholics, they didn't sue him. You know, so what we're looking at is a very powerful movement that supports a particular sin. And if you don't support it, it's like if you don't support it, then you're automatically a hater, you're automatically a bigot. And that's not true. If we don't support it, it's because the Bible, says we cannot support it, and support and tolerance are two different things. I say to tolerate a religion, a religious belief, a philosophy, or a way of thinking that is different from one's own religion, religious belief, philosophy, or way of thinking means to endure it or bear with it, but it doesn't mean to accept it, condone it, approve of it, enable it, support it, be involved in it, be a party to it, and or participate in it, or participate in the affirmation of it. And there's a blurred line now between tolerance and support, and the LGBTQ community as a whole feels like, okay, if you don't support us, then you're not tolerating us, and that's not true, and that's the problem. So that's, you know, yeah, that's where I talk a lot about that in the seventh chapter of my book. I would like to tell your listening audience where to get the book, because I think we're running out of time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we only have a minute left. So, yes, where can they get the book? And if they want to reach out to you and maybe have them on another radio show or have a speaking engagement, how can they get a hold of you?
Okay. So The Right to be Christian in a Gay Rights America is the name of the book, the title of the book. And you can get it in actually anywhere, and that's Barnes & Noble stores across the country. You can get it on Amazon. You can, you can go to your favorite store and order it. If it's not right there on the shelf, you can order it. That's really what available wherever books are sold means, that if you go to your bookstore and it's not right there on the shelf, you can order it. But it's in several Barnes & Noble bookstores across the country. And it would be helpful to me if those Christians who agree with me who are listening would go to their nearest Barnes & Noble store and get the book there. Or if they buy it on Amazon, to buy it from Amazon, because if they buy it from third-party booksellers, then the distributor knows the author gets anything from that. And so it doesn't go back to the ministry.
I would recommend Christians who don't agree with you to get the book and from the Word of God why they are wrong. So
you're right about that.
Thank you so much.
And
you.
Even though, I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm saying we're out of time. That it's a very fast 30 minutes here in the radio world.
Oh, let me give them my email address. It's lrita.dodds@yahoo.com. lrita.dodds@yahoo.com. Okay.
And I'll post this information when I repost this video on our Podomatic and our YouTube account. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And I hope that our paths will meet somehow in person, God willing. Folks, you've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. And until next week, may God richly bless you.